All right, right on indeed. Welcome to Belonging Songs. It's the podcast that brings you a brand new original song with each episode and then talks about the theme of that song and the processes that went into writing and recording it. Often, the revisions we make along the way. I'm your host, Wade Dana. With me today in the studio, Bradley Maurer.
Hey.
Patrick Crane.
I'm a skater boy.
That's a risk that you'll have to take.
It's a big risk because I spelled it with an 8.
Yep. And today, we're here to talk about a brand new song by Brad Lee. And it's been a while since Brad's brought a brand new song. I think this is the first brand new song of the season.
It is.
Because the other ones were ones that...
Old
rehab songs. Yeah. I haven't gotten my grubby hands on this one either. So
a new, fresh.
Fresh new song. He got himself a new recording rig and...
I'm back.
Got himself a new song. Yeah.
Now I just
the
need
start
some
of a
songs.
Whole new era.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. You retired and came out of retirement in the same week.
Well, it was forced retirement.
Yeah.
Now I'm bucking the system.
Collecting those sweet, sweet pension checks. Yeah,
that's right.
Did you guys enjoy the Olympics?
I did.
Yeah.
That's
pretty much all we've talked about. I think that's our only common bond as friends anymore.
Yeah.
Yes.
With Aerocatch season still months away.
I know.
Tennis at least 2 months away.
I think we really need to make this the year where we have at least one legit Aerocatch quibble against another team that we...
It's hard to get a sanctioned quibble with everything going on. I mean...
Yeah. Pandemic's put a hurt on it, but we're back. So if anybody in our listening area wants to form their own official Aerocatch club.
Shooting Nerf arrows into baseball gloves is what that means.
We need to start advertising like on the back of Boys Life where they have like all the gizmos. We just need to put like an Aerocatch illustration.
Somebody's already made.
Yeah. Yeah. Little
we repurpose.
Little clip out thing you mail in with a check.
Yeah. Proofs of purchase.
Aerocatch proofs of purchase.
That's out of the way. What else have you guys been up to?
Nothing.
It's been all Olympics.
Yep, yeah. All Olympics all the time.
As my wife and I affectionately call them. We call them the limps. Limps. Let's watch the limps.
Olympics. Gotta watch them Olympics.
Yeah.
Weird Olympics, but nonetheless, still fun. I love the Winter Olympics.
Me too.
It is, in my opinion, probably 2 times better than the Summer Olympics at least. I also love... How many variations human beings have come up over however many hundreds of years? Do shit with one piece of wood strapped to your foot. Do shit with 2 pieces of wood strapped to your foot.
Amazing.
And it's
shit.
Amazing shit.
Which would be a good cork board to just keep in a bathroom and with a Polaroid camera.
Right. Strap two blades to your back. Strap 2 blades to your stomach.
Right.
Well, go. People are crazy.
Yeah.
Also, this episode's probably not coming out for like 2 months.
Yeah, so right. By then, we'll be on to the Summer Olympics.
Summer Olympics. Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe we should move along. So,
yes.
As we mentioned, new song by Brad. It is called The Minute I Saw You, and I have already heard it.
I have not.
Good.
As I said, all we have is the Olympics. We don't talk about other things.
I wrote it.
Yeah. So, Brad, you want to give us any setup on this?
I will shit on it.
Not really. I mean, I could tell you all. I could tell you everything after you hear it.
Right? Which is funny because...
You already know all about it.
Well, yeah. Brad last weekend came over so we could record drums to this. And obviously, I have to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it plays once and Brad's like, it's about this. I'm like, oh, thanks.
I blew it. Well, I sent it with reference material.
Yeah, that's true. But I didn't know. I had no idea.
Yeah, well,
we'll get into that. Anyway, so. Yeah. Let's listen to it. This is a demo, and this does have Chad's drums.
Real
so
drums.
You haven't heard the drum comp, so I did.
I haven't heard the comp. Yeah.
So we had a really fun night recording drums for this. It just so worked out in the schedule that we had a day available to record drums. Brad had the song ready, so got to get him in when we can. So Brad came over, Chad came over, our friend Matt came over to record bass to something else. But we sat down here. I had a great time.
Yeah.
It was a Friday night. I recorded Chad's drums for Sweet Pea. Brad was sitting on the amplifier over in the corner. We were giving Chad notes as we went. And then once that was done, we flipped
rig.
Seats.
Yep.
So Brad took over running Pro Tools and producing, and I sat over in the corner messing around. and it was really fun. So, yeah, Brad.
We pushed the shit out of Chadley.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, we did.
Made
so we played
him tired.
This song quite a few times.
He did, yeah.
And then I put this drum comp together, which we talked about in the Sweet Pea episode. Mm-hmm. So I listened through all the different takes, picked the best parts. I did do a rough mix on this. So, Brad, you haven't heard that either. Mm-mm. I mean, I spent like a half an hour rough mixing it, whatever. There's one, maybe the very end, I might end up picking a different drum part. There was one take I liked, but the one I have in here is not that one, just because this one... we'll talk about it.
Okay.
So the drums haven't been edited yet, so they're a little
loose. Yeah.
And let's give her a listen.
I like it. Always be rolling, man.
That's why I didn't have the other edit in.
Oh, because
I was like, there might be an ending I like better, but I had to leave that in for us here. So even if I switch the very end,
it's like the ride on in the intro.
Yeah, I was thinking it might make the final cut.
It might. I think it will.
Okay.
Anyway,
I'd like to get Patrick's thought on the theme of this to start.
I actually don't know.
Okay.
Let's How about the song in general?
Patrick's thoughts on the song in general.
I don't know.
Right.
could talk.
No, I like it. It's funny, last time we recorded, we joked around about the lyrics that should happen with the song, et cetera, because isn't this what we were, the sooner
no,
or later
no, this
song?
Is a different one.
This is a different one?
It's the same riff.
Oh,
yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
I didn't realize it was
this
that
is
one.
The riff.
Okay.
Yeah.
This Wade. Is the riff I,
oh,
was
you're right,
I was playing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This is what that turned into.
Oh, cool.
It has this theme song vibe to it.
Mm.
It reminds me of, and I mean this in a very complimentary way, this is like a song that gets you to turn up the radio, like clap your hands
turn
along.
Turn up.
Yeah, I think overall it's just got a really uplifting kind of vibe and tempo.
I told Brad I was going to be pissed at him if there weren't hand claps in this song. When
yeah,
I first
it is. It's a very hand clappy song.
And he said, I'm not putting hand claps in there.
I don't think you should. I love the solo. There's something... You don't love the solo.
We have notes on the solo.
Okay.
It's funny. As the solo was playing, I saw Patrick write something. I said, he's going to like the solo.
Mm-hmm.
Brad and I were talking about maybe him redoing the solo.
I have redone the solo.
I actually, the
kept
more
the
I listen
solo.
To this, first of all, I want to say I really like this song a
mm-hmm.
lot. It's
okay.
been stuck in my head since I
the
first heard it.
The chorus, I'll admit, does it gets in my head from time
yeah.
to time.
In the solo, the thing that I wasn't in love with at first was the second half of the solo. So the solo is 8 measures.
The climbing.
The last 4 where it did the climbing. But the more I listen to it, it bothers me less and less.
I have another one that I think we'll probably want to do, not saying we'll probably want to do it for the song, but I think just the comparison.
Gotcha.
But going back to your first question, that I could be totally wrong on this. It almost feels like a romantic relationship between a celebrity, like somebody who got famous and then the other person didn't, and then tragic part of their life and this person's reflecting on it. That's what I got.
It's exactly what it's about.
Pretty damn close.
So if you want to talk about critiques, the only thing I think didn't really come together, the you opened me up by doing, it feels too much like the verse, and I want that to be treated more like a bridge to stick out a little bit, because I like the lyrics there, and I almost want to hear that younger than me kind of drop down maybe an octave as you're singing it.
I had thought about that, about trying to make that, I guess.
Because I think it just sounds too much like a shortened verse.
In my version, because all I did was I kept the same amount of time for the verse guitar part.
Right.
Only I played a solo through the first two
right.
lines, right? So I thought about maybe I need to figure out a different way to sing that to make it stand out on its own, to make
yeah,
it like a bridge.
I just
so
wrote,
I might
about,
play around with that.
Yeah, I put think about re-recording vocals, playing around with it in a little different cadence. But I really like this song. It's evoking some kind of nostalgia in my head without sounding like a direct parody or copy of a nostalgic song. It just puts me in a good place.
I think Patrick's really on
he
target
is. I could,
with
I could throw you, I could put all the cards right on the table.
But
tell you,
before you do,
go ahead. Yep.
I want to say this is going to be an episode where we listen to this song again after we get done talking about it, because this song
needs context.
So different.
Yeah.
I mean, you're spot on with your assessment of the song, but once everything's confirmed and what it's about, it really does hit, and it gets this weight that it didn't have before
mm-hmm.
you told me that, and it just works so well. So I do want to listen to it again in this episode so we can talk about it in that context once Brad tells you this.
So what it is, you'll know probably as soon as I tell you what band it's based around, probably. Mm-hmm. is I'm a big Detroit Cobras fan.
Oh, yeah.
And so Rachel Nagy just
yep.
passed away in January.
Yep.
And so, like, that was something I was thinking about a lot, and I was listening to the Detroit Cobras a lot after that and just kind of hearkening back.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had that riff, which was an open E, kind of a rocky thing to play, and I was playing it on my Les Paul, which I always keep
See,
in
I only
open
heard it
e.
on the acoustic
yeah.
very softly.
And I always keep that guitar tune that way, and that just made it kind of like that rockish kind of tone. And so basically a song about her, you know, I really like that band, and I think
mm-hmm.
was a pretty special lead singer.
Yeah,
and they basically
important part of the Detroit music scene,
and they were basically
a cover band yeah.
right, but they played all these rare obscure old like
right.
blues songs, and they rocked them up
mm-hmm. right.
And so I told Wade, I said I sent him the album, which one did I send you? I think Tried and True or something like
I don't
that
remember.
B Baby, one of those. I sent you an album and I said, hey, this is like the basis of what this song should sound like just because this is what it's about. And I told him what it was right. about.
Yeah,
here.
So I'm going to use that as reference tracks so when I mix this.
Because I want this to sound kind of like. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I panned a guitar all the way to the one side and I panned a guitar all the way to the other. And I said, kind of leave that alone because it's two guitar players.
You right? didn't tell me that, but
I didn't. But I did.
But
if,
so
but if you listen to their music, you'll see okay. that. And
I, for one, am glad you didn't write this song about prostate cancer.
I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's context.
Yeah.
Fred was playing that riff on the acoustic, and I don't know. We started singing
We made it a medical ad.
I walked out of the bathroom with some lyrics laid down.
Yeah, they're ridiculous. But even that was stuck in my head.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know it was related to this, but this has been stuck in my head.
Yeah.
So Patrick, you were right on.
And
pretty much.
I was trying to make the lyrics a little bluesy, right? And there's mm-hmm. a little bit of like that second guitar, which in your mixes in the right ear is a little bluesy.
Well,
it's a little different.
I was actually a little nervous when it started because it did sound like a little E Street Band to start.
Yeah,
and I'm
it
like,
does.
I'm yeah. like, how's this gonna tuck in?
And that's what
and it just works. Like,
I had the same issue because yeah. when Wade first heard it, he goes, this is fucking like Mellencamp. I was like, we got to figure out a way to get away from that. So we got to get it un-Mellencamped somehow.
And it might just be maybe another lead element in
it
the
could
beginning.
Be. Yeah, I think just
it might not need it because I think once the lyrics get going,
probably
like,
not claps.
No yeah, claps. Not. Yeah, claps would be the way to elevate the Mellencamp. But I think it's going to be all about this is one of those things where we really have to pay attention to the guitar tone and what's happening with guitar tone. And I actually did this through modeled amps. Mm-hmm. You probably saw that. And so I wanted to run it through something
okay.
so that way we could adjust it.
I actually
and run
didn't
it through
notice that
else.
On the mix you sent.
They should be on there.
Yeah,
maybe.
They probably are.
Do you have the 11 light?
Yeah.
Okay, so they came up.
Yeah.
So that's what I was.
So you were thinking we should reamp them through some.
But yeah, stuff. That's what I was thinking is I did that on purpose to get it while I was recording it and then throw it through like a tube amp.
Yeah, okay.
Is something I think we should do just to get that feel.
Yeah, we can throw. Is the bass also direct?
The bass is direct. Okay. And it's running through that Ampeg like B15.
Yeah, we can reamp all of them.
Yeah. So
for me, like, you're going to fix the solo. I think you
yeah,
guys will both.
Tell me what you think needs to be fixed on the solo because I feel like this is a trope of the show that we always disagree about solos.
After Wade commented on it, and I came in hesitant on it, it's just a little too ripping, was my issue. Like, it's.
I actually like the first four bars of the solo.
And
it was the second four that
I like it,
for.
But I was like, I want a little something a little dirtier, I okay. think, in there. So the other solo that I recorded after I went home is a little more, starts on the low end, and it kind of works its
yeah,
way up. It's
I,
a little gritty.
I think with the context of the specific band that inspired this, I would agree with you.
Yeah. And it might pull it back into
right.
the into that
right.
genre of sound that I really want it to stick
sure.
to.
I mean, that's something you could do 10 different versions of and
yeah.
pick the best
one. And I have
one,
a few. Like, I've tracked everything, so there's a whole bunch of playlists for that. So there's quite a few to go through, and we can listen to that.
I'll give you that.
We can pull it up. I have it here, so okay. we can listen to it after. Yeah. But that's the genesis of the song. And part of it was to deep dive is... So, like, the lyrics, however you left this world, like, nobody knows what happened
yeah,
to
right.
her.
Yeah, right, they haven't
right?
announced what
So,
happened.
Nobody knows what's going on, and then they mispronounced her age, right, where they said she was 37. I'm like, no, she wasn't. she found out she was in the band when she was, like, 10?
Yeah.
I don't think so. So, like, but I was like, you were older, but you seemed younger
yeah.
than me, you know, so it's just
that's good.
Kind of a weird how the news came into it.
I love your lyric. However you left this world, I hope it was peace, not pain.
Yeah,
it'll never be the same. Like that, I'm telling you, we're gonna re-listen to this, and everything just hits with more weight.
The
you know,
the only other like composition note I have is when you're going out with the, I know it will never be the same. You ride a lead note, they just keep striking
on a guitar.
On a guitar,
yeah.
I'll have to listen again to point it out, but there's
Feel
something
that,
about
that.
It that. Just took me out of the song a little
Let's
bit.
Let's listen to it again right now.
Let's
I do want to hit this again.
Roll
now
it!
Now that we have the context.
hope you smiled the whole way. You look so strong, stronger than I ever was. But maybe you lived your life on the stage. The minute I saw you, I saw the real thing. I saw you living out a dream. However you left this world, I hope it was peace, not pain. I know it will never be the same.
Yeah, man, I think this is so effective. And I mean, right off the bat, the I hope you smiled the whole way lyric really just hammers the emotions right off the bat with the context. And maybe you lived your life on the stage is a great line too, because, you know, you don't know this person for real. But,
not at all. Yeah.
And you don't know if that was a persona, if that's what they were really like, but it doesn't matter because this is just a great tribute.
Yeah. And just, saw you living out a dream.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like it's whatever you, it, whether it's high scale, like you're extremely popular or you're popular locally or, you know, in a cult kind of way, it's still the dream. You're still playing music into your almost 50. You know, that's a big deal.
It's such an upbeat thing. But then I've listened to it a bunch of times and yeah, you get emotional just thinking about it. And I think you did such a great job just capturing that vibe.
Like, Thank you.
Really, really good. Patrick, any thoughts? You had mentioned something about guitar at the end, and I don't know, now that you've listened to it after...
Yeah, it's small. It's just maybe noodle something different than just slamming on that one note a couple times. With the little...
He had
like a little vibrato note that...
I was trying to keep it very simple, as simple as I could.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing that I thought about trying to get into it without getting things into it is they do a lot of like interesting background vocals that aren't like doubling of vocals, but they're like hoo has things like that. And I was like, I wonder if there's a way to inject some of that shit in here, which is like a throwback to the blues parts of like people hooting and hollering. Nothing fits there, but ultimately I wanted it to be simple. So I was trying to just leave my hand alone and just let it stay in.
It's a winner. A
couple spots.
If you're going to play around with this, second verse, and it is a second verse, like
it comes back down.
It's the same thing, so it doesn't bother me. But both of you guys hit on that as something you might want to play
with.
Well,
I think you could keep the first line fine because it ties with the other verse. It's just that second line
right there is where in the drum comp I picked out the take where Chad does a a stop. He does like a couple pauses, which I thought would be really cool for you to play with, like with some accents and time stuff.
Yeah.
It's right in that spot you're talking about. So that's a great opportunity, I think, for you to
think about something else.
To accent that. And I think that would be really, really cool. Yeah.
This is one of those songs where I'd be grasping at straws to critique it too much. Don't fuck it up. Don't spend too much time on it.
I think that's where it's at. I want it to be a little messy, kind of real thick. I want the guitar sounds to be really good.
When you are playing with vocals, you need to re-record your vocal double for "But Maybe You Lived Your Life on the Stage."
Okay.
Because there's a word in there where you sing two different words.
I do that. And I do that.
Yeah.
How many hertz should you take down?
Don't do that.
It's probably only like, I don't know, two takes or something. But this was a Sunday, and I remember I went downstairs, and Amanda was like, "Vocal day, eh?" Yeah.
Vocal day.
Sorry about that.
But that has to get fixed.
Okay.
So, and I was prepared to argue if you were going to be like, "Yeah, but it just wanted to be raw."
I never picked up on it, probably.
There's raw, and then there's salmonella.
Exactly.
Right on. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking win.
To the future.
I'll
do a couple tweaks. I do kind of want you guys to hear the solo, so if I should put the other one in and build around it or not.
Do you think we should do that in this episode?
No, we'll tell them what our decision is.
Okay. Well, we're going to jump to the future then. So when we come back, we'll have this super polished up.
Super clean. Yeah. Melon campy.
I heard Dave and Chuckers back there talking about how their tribute was to drink King Cobra's.
Yeah, ice.
King Cobra's ice.
Nice. Set course.
To the future!
Are we ready?
No, yeah.
Bunch of fucking assholes standing around in a circle.
Seriously. Missing a barrel fire.
All right, welcome back, BSers. Why are we laughing? We're podcasting on the B-rig tonight. We're over at Chad's house. First time ever at Chad's house. And why are we doing this? Because this is kind of an impromptu thing. Brad has been out of town last weekend. He's going to be out of town next weekend. Mm-hmm. His song is coming out Monday.
Today.
Well, yeah, today. Exactly. Right now. Right. We are recording this on Tuesday prior to this coming out. This is just what we have to do to get it in. Unfortunately, Patrick's not here because Brad was fixing his furnace. So it's been a whole thing. So Patrick's busy. We were going to get him in on the phone, but the three of us are at Chad's. We've got my very first audio interface still kicking around. Probably bought this circa 2000, 2001. It's been over at Rad's house, and I've got my old laptop. We were able to throw a setup together.
I've managed to not ruin it.
We probably sound different because we're using microphones that are Chad's.
And we're in a big old room.
We're in a big room. Yeah. So anyway, we're getting it done. And I want to say thank you to you, Brad, for coming over tonight, and for Chad for letting us come over tonight to do it.
Hell yeah.
And we're talking about your song. And the reason we have to do that is because there aren't any other ones ready.
We're out of songs.
We have one more song to get done before mid-season break.
Boom.
And I know the onus is on me. I just got to buckle down. I've got three songs with music, but I have to buckle down this week and get some lyrics. So we have something. But yeah, we are standing. Brad and I are standing up. So my first time podcasting, standing up.
We're old.
Hey.
My back hurts.
I have stools.
Yeah, there's stools were provided.
Yeah. All right. So this song.
Yeah.
I've done a mix on it. I've sent it to Brad to let him listen to it. When we left it last, Brad's assignment was to do a new solo. Actually, when we listened to it, you had done the solo.
Yeah.
But we then listened to your new solo and decided, yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Listeners haven't heard the solo.
Right. And then I was like, okay, I'm just going to copy this right now. So I'll have it. And then a week went by, and I was like, oh, I got to mix Brad's song. And then I was like, I don't have the solo. I don't know what happened. So
then this guy was on my ass. Yeah, like, exactly. I need the solo. I'm like, dude, I gave you the solo. Like, he's like, no, man, I need the solo. I'm like, fuck. All right.
So we got the solo, got the mix. Like I said, sent it to Brad because I did one thing in the mix where I was 99.9% sure I was going to send Brad this song. And he was going to shoot me back that one part. I hate it. Like, I was like, he's going to listen to it, and it's going to be different, and he's going to be like, what was that? I hate it.
But yeah, I didn't do that.
To Brad's credit, and to my surprise, the only thing he sent back was, I like that part.
Yeah, I did.
Which I was like, I okay,
do.
Cool.
I do.
And that is a part that we had talked about last time, where Chad, you weren't here at the first sitting of this.
Correct.
But you do a very specific, like, drum kind of stop thing in one part, and it was a good part to highlight, and I did some stuff in the mix, which we will talk about after we listen to the song, which we're going to do right now. So
hell yeah.
If this cooperates. So Brad is the only person, when we listen, who's listening in stereo because of this setup. Chad's headphones went completely out. Yeah,
he's gone.
And I'm listening in mono.
And then you took yours off eventually.
Well, I gave them to Chad.
Oh.
Even though it's still in mono. But I want Chad to hear the mix. So yeah. We're going to listen to this again. Listeners aren't going to. I'm probably cut all this out.
Yeah, you're going to leave it in, but we're going to say we're cutting it out.
Yes. Yeah. I want Chad to hear the mix so we can talk about
we
the
have
mix.
To, yeah, we, what are we doing here?
So you're going to give him
the headphones?
Your headphones.
Okay.
And he's going to listen to it.
Okay.
If you want to listen to it again through mono.
Shitty headphones, much, whatever. Whatever. It's just sit here and talk about Chad.
He doesn't care, but he doesn't care about here, but I want him to hear it.
No,
he's
got to
hear it.
The whole point of the show was going to hear it.
You gotta hear the mix.
Okay.
My shit's good.
All right. We're getting through it. We went to plug Brad's microphone in earlier and it wasn't working. And then I tried to pull the cable out from the interface and the whole cable just like busted off.
Cheap cables.
We're getting there though. So, I'd like to get Brad's thoughts on this song now that it's mixed.
I like what you did. If I had one critique, the only thing that I guess I can't figure out if I like.
I'm going to cut this part out.
Yeah, you can. Is the snare sound.
Okay.
That's the only thing where I think I want it to be a little more, I don't know, thick.
When Chad was listening the second time.
You were telling me about the
Brad
mix.
Brad and I were chatting off mic. And today I did spend a little bit of time working on the drums.
Mm-hmm.
So the snare cuts through a little more now than it did. But you just listened to it and must have still thought that it...
Yeah, and maybe it's just me. Like, I just am paying attention to something I shouldn't. But it feels a little boxy.
Okay.
Like wood blocky.
I can still work on it. So I didn't do any drum replacement on this song, where most all the songs where we've recorded real drums, I have done reinforcement with samples and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This one I left is raw, just how we recorded it.
Yeah.
So it could be a case where that would really help. And that's something I can do that's pretty easy to try.
Yeah. Otherwise, I mean, that's probably was a shitty thing to lead with because it's a really good mix. Like, I really like the whole thing front to back, what you did.
I was excited about this one. It's not usual where I'll get a mix kind of close to being finished or finished and then sit back and feel like I really nailed it. And I did feel like that with this one.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, this one's a lot better, I feel like, in the first try, like, than a lot of our other ones.
The bass is crushing it. Like, I really like the bass sound. I really like the guitar sounds. When I gave it to you, kind of rough mix, it was real thin,
mm-hmm.
and I felt like I wanted it to be thicker and bigger, and you accomplished that. It's really cool. So, yeah, I think it's overall a great mix. And the part that you did that you referred to, which is like right before the last set of choruses,
yeah,
right, is really cool. It almost made me think like, oh man, that would have been cool to do something live where like you're kind of picking up your guitar and doing something and hitting,
coming into
it, like that part, like walking up and grabbing your guitar and strapping it on and hitting the notes. But I think you had a really cool way of doing that the way you did it.
We'll talk about that in a minute. Chad, what were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, overall, I thought the mix sounded good. It was thick. And I like that. I think sometimes, I don't know, that's just my preference, you know, that huge guitar sound. I thought the drum sounded good too with the bass drum and the toms.
The toms I thought sounded awesome.
Really good.
Yeah.
And that snare, yeah, that'd be easy. I mean,
was that something that stuck out to you?
It was tight. Well, you know,
that's the better snare.
That is a real tight.
But it just feels, it felt real tight, and I just think thin. And I think the song wants it to be a little bit
beefier,
a little more. Okay. I guess rock and roll.
I was thinking maybe just a little more reverb on it, just so it
something.
Stands a little farther back.
Yeah.
But overall,
that's the sound of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a good segue that you mentioned the reverb. Brad gave me a total album reference for this song.
I did. Yeah.
So, and I listened to it right before I mixed this, mm-hmm. and that was Detroit Cobra's Tied and True album.
Yep.
And the last song on that album has a very distinct snare sound, mm-hmm. which I used as the reference for this. And it's funny that you had...
I'm going to listen to that. Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, that's the song. I pulled three songs in to the session to use as references.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see on my notes here that I went to write them down and then forgot. But I know...
one, two, three.
I know the last song on that album was the one that I used. I was like, oh, that's great. Because the snare, it's like a sparse arrangement. Yeah, I'm sure you could pull it up.
I pulled the last
one.
And
I could actually look at the track listing and tell you what the other ones...
Yeah.
But that last song, it's a sparse arrangement, so you get to hear the snare really well. And it's funny that you had given me instructions to like not make this mix too polished.
Mm-hmm.
Even though every mix I've ever done, I think, sounds like garage rock anyway. So I don't think had to worry about it. So Green Light was the
last one.
And then I also pulled in...
Gotta Catch a Green Light.
I think As Long As I Have You and Nothing But Heartache. I think those first two songs.
Great songs.
Or maybe If You Don't Think, You Better Change. Maybe that was it.
Mm.
At any rate, you had said not to make it too polished, and then I ended up using more reverb and stuff in this mix because of their references. Mm-hmm. Because the drums on that album, you can hear like the reverb on the snare very distinctly. And so I kind of followed that with this. And then you mentioned the guitars being up more in the mix, and they kind of all are in that album. So that was really helpful. And we should definitely
do things like that.
Do that, yeah, that more if you have something in mind like that.
And this is one I talked about already in this episode where I really felt it's a kind of a tribute, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, I want to kind of hit a sound. And I think you matched that tone, that overall tone really well. Like it's something that I told you before, like it's fun for me to try to hit a target when I'm writing a song.
Yeah, and so I got to do that.
I thought it would be fun for you, right, to try to do the same thing.
And it was, yeah, and helpful. So I think we should go ahead and get a little technical. I think a lot of this beefy sound that I got is from this new technique I tried on this mix, something I haven't done. So I have a plugin called the NLS Channel by Waves, which is a console emulation. I think I've mentioned it before. Mm-hmm. It's something where you put an instance on each channel in your Pro Tools session, and it's supposed to emulate the buildup of like an old analog console. Mm-hmm. And then you also put a different version of that plugin called the NLS bus on your master bus. And so that's supposed to give you that glue, you know, a little just harmonic distortion. A little
spillover.
Yeah. But another thing I did on this was also add a tape emulation plugin to every single track in the session, which I've never done. I have one plugin by Slate Digital called the Virtual Tape Machine. And I usually use that one on my master bus just as like, same thing, add some harmonics and stuff. But I recently learned that it was designed to put an instance on each channel and switch. There's like a little toggle switch on there to like a 16 track 2-inch tape machine. Mm-hmm. So you set each channel to that version. And then on the master bus, you put it to the 1/2-inch 2-track, like master tape. And that I think really did like beef up the whole mix. And I'm working on another song right now, or I think the last time any one that I mixed, I did that on too. And I really like the sound. It's just like one of those intangible almost things.
Yeah.
Can't put your finger on it, but I just put all these instances on and it just like, oh, it just sounds better. I like it.
That's cool.
The positioning of the drums overall, I thought, was really good too, where the cymbals were.
Mm-hmm.
The cymbals sometimes are a little out there front. These were nice and kind of set back right behind the guitar a little bit.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
yeah.
I could definitely pick everything out, which it was still not too overbearing.
And you needed it for like when the choruses come in and things like that. Yeah. You could really hit
compared
those
to your verses where you're riding the open high.
That's something I've really been wrestling with in mixes since we started recording the drums live, especially in that room with the low ceilings and everything. And on this mix and the past couple, I've been doing an EQ shelf on the high end of the cymbals, meaning I'm bringing it down.
Down, right.
Like 2 decibels.
No, I would. Those
where before I was always boosting that stuff because I'm like, oh, cymbals, you want to boost the brightness. But they were just getting to be too overpowering, too bright in the mix.
Too crashy.
So I've been bringing that down and bringing the overheads down overall, letting the individual drum mics cut through a little more, like the kick and snare and the toms, and bringing that overheads down. I think it's giving the drums more definition. And like you said, I think it's helping the cymbals not overpower the mix and to sit better. So, yeah. Let's talk about that part with the part I thought you were going to hate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what that is. So I did a couple cut and paste, drag and drop type of things there.
Grab some guitar parts.
Yeah. So I knew we had talked about this when we listened to this initially, that I had said, that's a good spot to try and highlight.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't do anything.
I did not.
And so I was like, I'm going to try something. And then I had told you when I sent you the song, this it'd be really easy to get rid of if you don't like it. One of the guitar tracks, I just dragged the waveform. Like you had some information that was hidden and it sounded like it was just you waiting to play your part.
Oh yeah. So you just pulled it forward.
Like, I just uncovered that and was like, oh, okay, this is cool. Because it kind of did this weird swell here. I was like, I can do something with this. And then I knew Chad does those drum steps. Dun, dun, dun. So I dragged like a long note of yours from further on in the song, put it there, chopped it up to hit with those notes. So you hear the guitar come in with those and go, ping, ping, ping. And then that coupled with just the information that was already there kind of gave that cool swell. But I also then put a Spring Reverb plugin on the guitar tracks. In this one instance of a plugin I have is by Softube. And it's really cool because it has the option to give you that like sound of hitting an amp.
Oh, really?
It, there's a little trigger on it right there that you can hit on the plugin itself. And it gives you that, like anybody who's played guitar knows.
If you smack the top of the
it's shaking. The amp and it's... So I automated the plugin to emulate that. You're hitting those notes with the drum beat, but then also it's triggering...
The amp's getting hit.
The amp hit.
That's cool as hell.
So that's what that is.
Fits the mood of the song,
yeah,
too.
I didn't want to do something that was, like, in effect, that was, like, clearly, like...
Brought in.
Yeah, brought in. Yeah. Like, I wanted it to sound more natural, like somebody accidentally hit the thing, or, like, or purposely did, because of the vibe of the song.
Yeah, that's a cool tip.
Now, the beginning, your intro, where Chad comes in and does those first initial hits, like, you're playing your dun, 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 and the first few hits, Chad does this, you know, accent hits. I did have to put in the background a little bit of delay on the overheads of the drums just to fill those gaps, because it was very stark and dry, like, when you would hit, and it almost sounded chintzy, but by adding a little bit of delay, and I tried to make it so it wasn't noticeable, but just to kind of fill those spaces ambiently.
Made the room a little bigger.
Yeah, and that really helped. And I used a delay I've never used before. It's called the Delay Eternity by Arturia. It was pretty cool, and I used it also on your background vocals. Mm. And also one of the guitar solo tracks, I put a little bit of delay on just to help fill it out a bit.
I really like the background vocals, by the way, because they're subtle.
Mm-hmm.
They're not overpowering, which if I were mixing, I probably would have had them up a little bit too much after hearing your mix, you know? And they sound really cool, which is probably not how they sounded.
I did some tuning on them. But other than that, you know, there was that little bit of delay, and I didn't add any chorus or anything like that. Reverb. I decided to use more reverb in this mix than I usually do just because of your reference. So a little bit of reverb and delay. And one interesting thing that I did do was early on in the song, you have your lead guitar comes in. And I really tried in this mix to pan your guitars all like hard panned. Like one comes in and it's over here. Another one comes in and it's over
different
here.
Different guitar players kind of thing.
Yeah. So when one of your lead guitars comes in for the first time, it's that one where you're playing the long drawn out notes kind of. That's panned over to the right side. But that's also when the background vocals come in. So I panned your background vocals to lean pretty heavy left there to balance that guitar out. And then you have a mirroring lead guitar come in later.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that happens, your background vocals kind of
spread out
evenly.
Yeah, cool.
So that was just a trick to make the mix more balanced. Yeah. Let's see, what else do I have? It's something we haven't done all season. And now it's time to go bus riding.
Oh, shit.
Get in, losers. We're doing bus stuff.
That's a train, but...
This is Chad's first bus ride.
Hey.
Get on, motherfucker.
So it makes more sense if you listen to the album. The episode.
The old episode.
So we're going to ride down the drum bus here. And since we haven't done this season, what we're talking about here is inside Pro Tools. There are what are called buses. It's just a routing system within the mixer and Pro Tools. So I can send, in this instance, all the drums to what is called the drum sub. So I can control them globally or affect them globally. So we're going to
run. For the record, this isn't a Pro Tools thing. This on the boards back
in the
day. Yeah,
this is on real consoles and any digital audio workstation that you use.
But did they do it on the old school?
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Okay.
On the consoles,
yeah.
It's a routing system. Even my desk in my basement
has buses. Routing.
Yeah. So we're going to run down the drum sub, the plugins that I'm using to kind of help glue the drum kit together. And like I told Brad, I was kind of working on that because I had sent this in for feedback and someone mentioned the snare.
Did they?
That it needed work. And I tried to work on it, but apparently it needs more. But the first plugin that we're hitting on the drum bus is a Waves plugin. It's a compressor called the Kramer Pi. And I use this one a lot on drums. I just like the way it hits. I'm not hitting this thing hard. I'm using just a 2-to-1 ratio, which means for every 2 decibels that exceed the threshold of the compressor that I've set, it lets one through. But I've got this to where it's only barely bumping up the needle. So just to give this a little glue, it's kind of, anytime Chad does like a huge fill or a really hard snare hit, you'll see the needle move just a little bit, just to keep those things a little glued
not
together.
Not spiking.
Not, yeah, not from blowing out your ears. So it's a 2-to-1 ratio with 100 millisecond release, very fast release. It's the fastest it'll go. So it's just, it's clamping down and letting go real quick. The next plugin in the chain is the Eosys Air EQ. I am boosting 45 hertz, 1 decibel. This EQ is like super powerful. So when I say I'm just boosting 1 decibel, it's very noticeable when you bypass this particular EQ. It really does boost it quite a bit. So I'm boosting 45. That's giving a lot of the thump in the low end in the drum kit. Cutting out 316 hertz. That's a lot of the muddy, muffled stuff. Maybe I cut too much out because maybe that's affecting the snare a bit. And boosting 1.33 kilohertz, which is your attack of the kick and the snare, really giving that snap. So that's that plugin. The next is the Solid State Logic X Saturator. This is something I added today, and it is a harmonic saturator. Another thing to just add a little life. Because we're close miking all the drums and we weren't using a room mic, you almost get this like unreal effect when listening to the drums. Like, it doesn't sound like a real instrument like it should because everything's so close mic'd.
Yeah, nothing's bleeding together.
Right, and this just helps to kind of give it a little saturation to make it feel more like a real instrument and helps it poke out a little. Then I think that did help. And that's it, really. And then I'm hitting that NLS channel and virtual tape machine that I said I put on every channel. And then this sub bus is also sending to another sub, which I'm compressing really hard. I call it the crush track. Mm-hmm. So I'm sending the whole drum signal to another track and then really hitting it really hard with a compressor, just crushing it and then blending that in just a little bit. And that is another trick that helps cut through the mix, like the kick and snare especially. And I'm hitting that with a DBX 160 compressor by Waves.
That's been the bus ride.
Yeah. I'm happy with how this turned out.
Me too.
Things I learned was that I really like the trick of using that tape machine on every channel. I'm doing that going forward with our other mixes. Anything else that anybody wants to say about this?
Just not technical. I thought it was a great song. It was driving.
Yeah, Chad, you weren't here for when we sat down the first time.
No.
Yeah.
But no, I just thought it would be, great song in the first place. It was driving, simple, good. I like the key. I like the the changes in it, and that worked out too. It took another one that kind of took another life of its own once we sat down and did it together, because we hadn't done it
before. I was asking Wade while you were listening because I couldn't remember if we did this or not, and since you've said it, it stuck with me. Like, I do wish it was just a couple beats faster, but I think it's
no, it's good. It's good where
it works where it's at. But I was like, I could see where it could get a little, maybe a 128 or a 125.
So BSers, when we were recording down in my basement, Brad was running Pro Tools and Chad was playing the first couple times through.
Yeah.
And it was very clear that he wanted to play faster than the track.
Just a little bit. Yeah. Just a little bit.
And I think I probably agree with that notion.
And if I would go back, I'd kick it up a notch. But I think ultimately I'm happy with the way the song came out. And it was an open E kind of, I've never really written a song in that open E sort of tuning before. And I've always played around with it. Never really had anything to call my own in that space. And so that was fun.
Did you know that apparently that is called Keefe chords?
Keefe?
Keefe.
Keith?
Keefe.
K-E-E-F?
Yes.
No.
So I sent this in to get feedback on it, and somebody was like, nice Keefe chords. And I was like, I don't know what that means, bro.
You have to break it down.
It is for Keith Richards. I guess it's morphed over time into Keefe chords. So that was something new that I learned.
That's fucking awesome. All right.
So there you go.
Keefe chords. Nice Keefe chords. It was a note.
Yep.
That's good.
I'll take it.
Cool. All right. Oh, I wanted to hit this. Patrick.
Notes.
Patrick did text in with a couple notes, so I want to hit them while we're here. He said he likes how the held notes in the new mix sound. So I think that's your lead guitars
doing the long notes. Yeah, in the chorus.
Solo flows much better from the rest of the jam, like before you had your other solo in. So I do think this one flows good.
I agree.
Outro really good. I mean, it just kind of stops and then Chad does the cool brum. Yeah. And he mentioned some, he likes Chad's playing after the solo. I think that's the part.
Well, there's another one too. There is a
couple of,
I don't
those
know
stops.
If you left it or on purpose, or there was quite an offbeat on a snare hit, not in a fill, but towards the end.
We're going to say that I did.
Okay.
It's there.
So yeah, song in the bank.
Boom.
Good.
Brad, your done. First, Keef. New song.
First Keef
for
song,
the season.
Too. Yeah, that's true.
Your first new song since your ingredient song.
Since, I wasted a winter by not having a rig.
Speaking of ingredient songs and our next episode, I think since it's going to be the last episode of the first half of season 3 before we go into our mid-season break, that we will do a special ingredient song drawing for listeners, because I've had at least one person reach out and say, hey, I'd like to do that. That's cool.
Mm.
So I think we'll draw for ours, but that'll be like episodes and you won't hear that until later in the second half.
Okay.
But I was thinking maybe we can draw a special one in our next episode for anybody who wants to make a song, and those will be their ingredients.
Okay.
So look forward to that.
Oh, so in general.
Yeah.
If there's 100 people,
they would,
or one person.
Exactly.
Okay.
Those are the ingredients for the
I like that.
Listeners, ingredient songs, okay. Should they choose to do one.
Forever.
All are welcome to do.
I like it.
Yes. If you listen to this podcast 5 years down the road.
These are your ingredients.
You can still do this.
Guest ingredients.
But for now, we're going to try and wrap this session up. Thank you so much for listening. As always, you can listen to all these songs on our website, belongingsongs.com. A new thing I'm doing is, in the past, I would release the songs the day the episodes come out. Mm-hmm. But since we're doing the staggered release of episodes this season, I'm not releasing the song to Apple Music, Amazon, Spotify until the following week.
Mm.
And why I'm doing that is...
So you listen to the episode.
Yeah. Also gives us time to submit to the Spotify playlist and everything, so it'll just show up if you're following either myself or Brad, Uzi Royal, Arnold Slynn. Links in the episode descriptions. Those new songs will now show up in like your release radar and stuff because we're giving them time to get them
upload
out.
Them.
Yeah. And also just gives us something to look forward to the following week, which nothing happens in the podcast. So.
Yeah. Cool.
Please go follow our Spotify playlist. Link in the episode description. It's got all the songs from all the seasons and more. I think that's it. Merch, stuff, do the things, website.
Yeah. Click the things.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
No, it's all direct through my pedal board into a model.
Oh, yeah. What's wrong with the champ?
Nothing, I guess. Nothing. Yeah.
You just sound like a dad asking what's his kid saying. What's wrong with the champ?
Yeah. We have YouTube at home.
Not feeling good. What's wrong with the champ?
What's wrong with the champ? The champ's down.
Oh, hey, champ, you all right? You all right? Take a salt tablet, walk it off.
There you go, sport.
What's wrong with the champ?
Champ.
Yeah, it's good. Boom, done. Next.